special. Thankful for heaven, amen. I sure am glad for the promise of home, it said. Amen. No place like home. This is not home. I'm sure, and I don't know about you, but I'm glad of it. Amen. I'm glad that we have an eternal home. We're going to get back into our message in the book of Acts tonight, talking about acting like a Christian. Pastor was talking about the grace of God after that last song. And I looked over, and for the first time, I think ever, I've got all five of my children in the church service tonight, lined up on the front row. And may not mean much to you, but to me, it's the grace of God. My brother, it turns 46 tomorrow. And we went by my mom's house today for a little birthday party that she had for him. And just took a little walk down memory lane. And I sure am thankful for the grace of God. God has been so good to me. God's been far better than I deserve. And God's just done so much in my life. And I just can't thank him and praise him enough. Eternity won't be long enough to thank God for all that he's done for me. And so I sure am glad for the grace of God and for my family and what God's given me. I've got two reasons that I really believe, and I know you don't believe, but I got two reasons that I really believe that I'm going to be a little shorter tonight. And I know y'all say, don't even talk about time. I'm going to talk about it tonight, okay? And I got two reasons why I believe it. One, because this is my youngest daughter's first time in big church. Amen. And so we're going to see how that goes. She just smiled at me. This will be the first Sunday in 15 years that the Olivers did not have a child in the nursery department of Fellowship Baptist Church, all right? So we're turning the page this week, amen? And so she's in here tonight, and so that'll keep me on my toes. And then number two, Brother Keith Shoemaker preached my message this morning. You'll see what I mean here in a moment. I couldn't believe it. Brother Keith come to me this morning after Sunday school, and he said, Brother David, he said, last time I was here, did I preach a message where I put those two girls up on the screen and I lined some people up out front as an illustration and talked about a puzzle piece and all that? And I was like, Brother Keith, I don't recall that. And he said, you don't think so? He said, I got the picture while I was in the States last time, and I started preaching that message while I was in the States, but I don't know if I had gotten that picture before or after I was here. And I said, Brother Keith, I'm pretty good memory, and I don't think you preached that, but you might ought to ask Pastor Brandon. And so he asked Pastor Brandon. I said, he's a little younger than I am, right? I didn't say that, but he is a little younger than I am. And so I thought, ask Pastor Brandon. If he don't remember, I think you're good. And so he asked Pastor Brandon. He also asked Pastor. Pastor said he couldn't remember 6 months ago. And so he said, you're asking the wrong man, Brother Keith. But he asked Pastor Brandon, and he didn't think so either. And so he said none of the three. And so when he told me, I did tell him this, though. When he asked me, I said, Brother Keith, I'll be honest with you. He said, that's not what I come prepared to preach this morning. He said, I had another message I was going to preach. And during Sunday school, God began to move in my heart. And I really think that's the message I should preach. And I thought, man, Brother Keith, I said, that's really similar to the message I'm planning to preach tonight. Didn't faze him a bit. he didn't even flinch. He went straight to Pastor Brandon. I mean, he didn't even back up a minute. He was thinking, well, that's on you, man. I'm preaching now. You're preaching tonight. You got a couple hours to figure this out, right? And so I did. I went home and I thought about it a little bit, trying to change my message, but God wouldn't allow me. And so I think it's for this reason. Some of what I'm going to say tonight, I'm honest with you, is going to be a little bit of a repeat from this morning. But I thought about this. Maybe God just wants to really get someone's attention tonight. I don't know about you, sometimes I need to hear things more than once. And it could be that there's somebody here tonight, God was trying to get your attention this morning, but he didn't have it, and so he's going to try to get it again tonight. Or it could be that God got your attention this morning, but you didn't respond to it, and so God is going to repeat some things tonight. And so I want to look at tonight another defining mark of what it means to act like a Christian. So far, we've seen that they were saved first. We've seen that they were spirit-filled. We've seen that they spoke freely, that they supplicated frequently, that they stood firmly. And last week, we talked about how that they sacrificed financially. And you know, honestly, that message last week, I didn't plan to preach that in this order of my messages. When I was preparing my messages, I didn't plan that message to be in the order that it was in. But I thought it fell just in time with Brother Keith coming. It was like it was a exclamation point on missions conference, on the message that I preached last Sunday, some things that we've been doing, and it was just another reminder this morning that God's work is worthy of our sacrifice. I don't know about you, but this morning during Sunday school, I was glad for every dime I've ever given to missions. I was excited about the investment that God has allowed me to make in missions. My heart was so stirred this morning during Sunday school, seeing those pictures and hearing those stories. And I was fortunate, some of our young people were fortunate, because Brother Keith was with us Friday and Saturday, and we got to hear other stories. And I was hoping so bad he would tell some of you that have not heard the story about the first chief that he led to the Lord there in Burkina Faso. He went out into a jungle, and I won't give the entire story, but Brother Keith went out to a jungle 3.5 hours away from where the city that they live in. This guy that he knew was trying to get a church out in his village, and he said no one had ever been out there because of the distance and how long it took and the rough path to get there. And Brother Keith told the guy that he would go. And so they went, and he told about the story, and they got there. When they pulled up, he said there was a tree there. It was over 200 people under that tree. And the guy looked at him and said, "We're here." And Brother Keith said, "Those people are here to hear me." And he said, "Yes, sir, I told them that you were coming. And so they're all here to hear you." And so, long story short, Brother Keith preached, and he got to meet the chief, and he led the chief to the Lord. Almost 100 years old, that chief was. He was the one that he mentioned this morning in Sunday school that's already passed and went to be with the Lord. But he said that chief told him that when he was around 100 years old, he didn't know exactly, but he was around 100 years old, and that when he was a young man in his early 30s, he said that he had heard stories of a man with a book coming to other villages, and how that book would change those villages. And he said, "I was a young man, and I had just become the chief of this village." And he said, and when I heard that story, he said, "I cried out to heaven, and I said, if there's a God out there, would you send a man with a book? Would you send a man with a book to change our village?" And he said that was over 60 years ago that I prayed that prayer. And Brother Keith said that the man told him, he said, "When you got out of that vehicle that you were riding in and you started walking up here," he said, "the first thing I saw was a book." The man had never, I think Brother Keith said he had never seen a white man before, and he seen this white man walking up with a book. And Brother Keith said, it was just amazing. He said, "God allowed me to be the answer to that man's prayers." And Brother Keith was able to come and bring the book, and that book changed that village. And it was just an amazing story. And we got to hear a little bit more. And so I was just so encouraged by being around Brother Keith. There's some people that just really challenge you, you know? And Brother Keith is one of those people to me. He just challenges my life. Just being around him challenges me to do more for God. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that tonight. We've talked about all these other defining marks of a Christian. And tonight I want to look at another defining mark throughout the church age, but really in the early church here in the book of Acts and some of those letters that Paul wrote during that same time period. And that is this, that they were a group of people that served faithfully. They served faithfully. Now, I said a couple of weeks ago, they stood firmly. And I was thinking about that, and I thought how similar those two thoughts are, that they stood firmly, but they also served faithfully. And I thought about this. I thought when they stood firmly, if you were to look at it as a sports analogy, when they stood firmly, it was as if they were on defense, right? If you were to look at it as a war or as a battle, which we are in, then you would say that when they stood firmly in the book of Acts and in the early church, they were on defense. They were under attack. You remember? There was fierce pressure. There was furious persecution. There were fearful politicians. There were false prophets. There were fake people. And all these things were trying to come in on that church. And the Bible says that they stood, right? But I picture that standing as a defensive stand.
As if someone that was in battle was under attack. And I think that night I gave the illustration of during one of the wars where he said, he told those people at that battle to just stand, right? And so when I thought about stand, stood firmly, it was defensive. But when I think about serving faithfully, I think about offensive. So the church, the early church, yes, they were on the defense. They were under attack. There was pressure. There was persecution. There were fearful politicians. There were all kinds of fake people. And there was false prophets and false preaching. And it was they were under attack and they stood firmly. But even while they stood firmly, they served faithfully. They were on the offense. You know, Jesus said that, he told Peter, he said, Peter, upon this I will build my church, right? Upon this statement that you made, that I'm the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, upon that statement, Peter, I will build my church. You know what he said next? He said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. You know what that means? The church is moving forward. The church is on the offense. Sometimes we get it wrong. Sometimes we think that we're just on the defense and all we're to do is to stand. And there comes a time where we need to stand. There's times where we're under attack and all we can do, Paul said, having done all, stand. That's all you can do is stand. But don't stand too long, right? Start moving forward, right? He's saying stand, don't go backwards. Stand firm when you're under attack. But as soon as the attack subsides, he said, go forward. Serve God faithfully. And this church, the early church, and really throughout church history, Christians have been known as people that served faithfully. They were on the attack. They were on the offense. And so I want to talk about serving faithfully a little bit tonight. I got 2 points and I got a couple subpoints. My first point is this, the variety of service. I want to break down that word, serve faithfully. And I want to look at the serve part first, and then I want to look at the faithful part second, okay? So service, the service. I want to look at the variety of the service, right? Number one, the people that serve faithfully. There was a variety of people that serve faithfully. Now you see where I'm going with Brother Keith and his message. He talked about different people that were involved in the plan of God to reach those two young ladies. And I already had this message in my mind, and I thought, man, Brother Keith, you're killing me, right? But the variety of people that serve faithfully, I want to read some to you, and please forgive me for my pronunciation, okay? I went to William Monroe. We like to call it Billy Monroe. Amen, Brother Calvin. I went to Billy Monroe, okay? And so you please forgive me for my failure to pronunciate some of these words. But I went through the book of Acts, and I don't think I even wrote them all down. But I want to tell you some of the people that you will find if you read through the book of Acts, that you will find that serve God faithfully. You'll find the apostles, every one of them. You'll find Stephen, Philip, Barnabas, Silas, Dorcas, Timotheus, Lydia, Epaphras, Aristarchus, Epaphroditus, Gaius, Tychicus, Trophimus, Aquila, Priscilla, Apollos, Procreus, Parmenas, Nicholas, and on, amen? Go to Romans chapter 16 real quick. Go to Romans chapter 16. I couldn't help, as I was thinking about the book of Acts, I couldn't help but think about Romans 16. I every time I read Romans 16 in my personal Bible reading and I come across this chapter, I'm always reminded of this list of people that Paul named. I personally believe that this letter was written. There's a little controversy about exactly when Paul wrote this letter to the Romans. I personally believe that it was during the period of the book of Acts. I believe Paul wrote this letter during that time frame that you would be during the book of Acts. And look at what Paul says in chapter 16 in verse number 1. He says, I commend unto you Phoebe. I didn't list her, but I think she would be involved as well. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, look at it, which is a servant of the church, which is at Centuria. You think that's how you say it? Amen. Praise the God. All right, look at verse number three. I'm not going to read down through this. Well, verse two, it says that you receive her in the Lord as becoming saints, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been She's been a helper, amen. That's what it means. She's helped, she's assisted, she's served, right? She is to many and to myself also. And Paul goes on. He says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers. Right? Look at verse number 6. He said, greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. I think that's service, wouldn't you say? Bestowing much labor on us would be service. Look at verse number 9. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ. Look down in verse number 12. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord, right? Who labor in the Lord. They're serving God. And we could go on and on, but I'm tired of y'all laughing at how I pronounce these names. That they gotta be brothers and sisters, or brother and brother, or something, right? Don't you think? Verse 12, Tryphena and Tryphosa, or Tryphosa, they gotta be like twins. Amen. Nobody would do that to any other thing else, right? But anyway, they were servants of the Lord. They were helpers in the work. They were assisting the Apostle Paul. And so we could go through the book of Acts. We could go through the New Testament epistles. We could go through the book of Galatians and the book of Philippians and the book of Colossians and the book of Corinthians and the book of Thessalonians and the book of Romans. And we could find all kinds of different names and different people that Paul mentioned that were servants of the Lord. You see, there is a variety of people that serve God faithfully in the early church. And I'm glad that there's still a variety of people that serve God today in the local church. I thank God for that. There's a variety of people that serve the Lord faithfully. But not only is there a variety of people that serve the Lord faithfully, there's a variety of places that serve the Lord faithfully. I went through the book of Acts again. This is even harder than the names. The places that they served. I didn't even write them all down, but if you were to pull out a map, maybe in the back of your Bible, maybe you've got the map of Paul's missionary journeys in the back of your Bible. It'd do you good to pull it out sometime and study those places that Paul went. It really opens your eyes to the extent that the Apostle Paul was willing to go to get the gospel around the world. To go from Jerusalem to Rome was a long ways. And this was before airplanes, before automobiles. It was a long journey to go from Jerusalem to Rome, but Paul did it. Why? Because he wanted to serve the Lord faithfully. And there were many places where they served the Lord faithfully. There was Jerusalem, there was Caesarea, there was Seleucia, there was Salamis, there was Cyprus, there was Paphos, there was Perga, there was Attalia, there was Poseidon, there was Iconium, there was Lystra, there was Derbe, Antioch, Colossae, Laodicea, Miletus, Troas, Sardis, Thyatira, Smyrna, Philadelphia, Ephesus, Thessalonica, Philippi, Berea, Athens, Corinth, Rome. I think you get the point. And more. I didn't even write them all down. I couldn't say some of them. I couldn't say some of those either, but I still tried. Amen. All kinds of different places that people were serving the Lord faithfully. If we're not careful, you know what the devil will try to tell us? We're the only people serving the Lord. We're the only place that's serving the Lord. I think the enemy will try to make us think that only America, only Americans serve the Lord. I think we saw different this morning. Amen. Pastor Salif is serving the Lord. In a different place, a place that many of us will never go in this life, there's somebody serving the Lord. The pastor is getting to go to Peru, South America this coming week, him and James, and they're gonna take a flight to Peru and then another flight to the mountains of Peru. And you know what they're going to find in those mountains? People that are serving the Lord. In different places, serving the Lord. I'll never forget when we went on that missions trip to Honduras, Brother Allen, standing on that mountain that last day that we did clinics, and we were at the top of a mountain, and it took hours to ride up there on the back of a truck with about 14 people. But at the end of that day, we stood up on top of that mountain with a beautiful view of Honduras and part of a view of Nicaragua, and we sang, I think we sang Jesus Loves Me, I can't remember, we sang a song up there on that mountain, and I remember that it was just like the cherry on top of that missions trip, and I remember just sitting on that mountainside thinking, wow, what a big God. What a big God. People in the mountains of Honduras, in Choluteca, Honduras, that many of us will never step foot, serving God. All kinds of places, all kinds of people, faithfully serving the Lord. I thank God that Christians are known as people that serve the Lord in places that serve the Lord. There's places all over this world where people are serving God. And so we see the variety of people. We see the variety of places. If we were to look through the book of Acts, you know what else we'd see? We'd see a variety of positions. See, sometimes if we're not careful, and I said we, probably me, I should put myself in this category. If I'm not careful, I'll make it sound like the only people serving the Lord are preachers and missionaries. That's not so. That's not so. We heard it this morning. That one talent is, Brother Keith, I agree with Brother Keith. That one talent that uses that talent for God is going to get more of a reward than that man with five talents but only uses four of them. You see, you look through the book of Acts, you know what you're going to find? You're going to find Dorcas serving God, a young lady, Tabitha, doing alms deeds and good deeds and serving the Lord. You're going to find Lydia, that seller of purple, bringing the Apostle Paul and those people into her house and fixing them a meal and serving the Lord. You're going to find people like Phoebe that Paul felt that he needed to mention in Romans chapter number 16. He wanted them to commend her. Why? Because she served the Lord. So it's not just the preachers. It's not just the missionaries. It's the Sunday school teachers. It's the bus workers. It's the people that clean the church. It's the people that keep the nursery. It's the people that hold the door. It's the people that go out and knock doors. It's the people that pay the bills. It's the people that cut the grass. It's the people that pick up the trash. It's the people that scrape the parking lot. It's the people that change the light bulbs. It's the people that do the work of God faithfully. Serving the Lord. And God's keeping the record. And there's a variety of positions. If you look through the book of Acts, you're going to find all kinds of people. And you're going to find all kinds of places. And you're going to see a whole lot of different positions. Now, their positions looked a little different than ours do. They were meeting in houses. And they were meeting down by riversides. And they were doing things a little different than we do them. But they were still faithfully serving the Lord. And so we see, number one, the variety of their service. The people, the places, the positions. Number two, I want to look at the validity of their service. The validity of their service. I said they served faithfully. They served faithfully. So we looked at the service. There was a variety of service. Now I want to look at that word faithfully, the validity of their service. You say, what does validity mean, Brother David? Validity means the proof, or it means the strength to convince. Why am I convinced that these people serve the Lord faithfully? Well, there's numerous reasons, but I want to give you three real quick. Number one, because of their passion. Go to Acts chapter number 20, if you would. Acts chapter 20. I don't know if there's a verse in the Bible that I can feel the passion in as this verse right here when I read it. Look at Acts chapter number 20. We're going to look at three verses. Look at verse number 17. It says, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons. Look at this, verse 19. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears. I think that speaks of passion. And temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. And verse 20, here it is. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house. Paul said, I kept back nothing. I put it all on the line. Paul was passionate about what he was doing. If you go to Philippians chapter number 2 real quick, I'll show you two other men that were in the same time frame that I believe were passionate men. And it was a proof of it was a validity of their faithfulness, a validity of their service. Philippians chapter number 2. Look at verse number 21. It says, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ, but ye know, look at it, the proof of him. I could say this, the validation of him, right? You know the validity of him. You know the proof of him, that as a son with a father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. Look at this. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that he had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Look at verse 30. Because for the work of Christ, for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. I don't know about you, but when I read that, I think that Timothy and Epaphroditus were passionate. They had a passion to serve God. They didn't keep nothing back. Paul went on in Acts chapter number 20. The apostle Paul, he went on to say, he said that none of these things move me. That he talks about all that awaits for him there at Rome. And he said, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. He said, I just want to serve Christ. In the book of Philippians, he said that I may know him, right? He said, I follow after. He said, I want to know him. I want to follow after him. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. These men were passionate. These women that served God in the early church were passionate. Can I ask you tonight, are you passionate about the service of God? How passionate are you about serving the Lord? I think some people are so passionate about their job. And I'm not saying there's something wrong with that, but we heard it this morning. Can I tell you, that job is not going to last forever. That paycheck will make wings and fly. And I'm not saying you shouldn't do your best. The Bible actually says, I wrote it down here, the Bible actually says in Ecclesiastes chapter number 9, verse 10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. If you have a job, you ought to do the best at your job. But can I tell you this? I believe if you have a job in the church, if you do your best at your job that you get paid for, but you don't do your best at the job that in the church, something's wrong. If you're more passionate about your career than you are about the church, there's something wrong. And it doesn't matter if you're a preacher. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a missionary. It doesn't matter. You're a servant. You're a servant of God. And we heard it this morning. If you don't do your part, if you don't fill your piece of the puzzle, if you don't teach your Sunday school class with passion, if you don't study your lesson with passion, if you don't sing that special with passion, if you don't prepare that lesson with passion, if you don't go out soul winning with passion, if you don't do the work of God with passion, with great desire, can I tell you, somebody might miss a piece of the puzzle. I think sometimes we're so passionate about the wrong things, and I said we. I think we get our priorities all mixed up. In the early church, the Christians there, they served faithfully. They were passionate. Can I tell you this? We see their passion. We also see their perseverance. I already mentioned Paul said, I count not my life dear unto myself. Paul said, none of these things move me. He said, I'm not afraid to die. I want to serve the Lord. Epaphroditus, he said, Epaphroditus is almost, he's about killed himself trying to serve me. Didn't you remember Philippians chapter 2? He said, for unto you it is given, oh no, I'm reading the wrong place. He said, because of the work of Christ, the service of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life. He was so passionate about the work of Christ that he was willing to die for it. He was persevering in the face of opposition, in the face of sickness, in the face of death. He was going forward for Christ. And I just think as Christians, we ought to serve faithfully. And the validity of our service is the passion with which we serve with. Number two, it's our perseverance, how that we keep going even in the face of difficulty. I read this definition about perseverance. One man said this, and I thought it was a great definition of it. He said it's a long obedience in the same direction. That's perseverance. A long obedience in the same direction. I, for sake of time, I won't turn there. 2 Timothy, you ought to read it this way. You ought to read it sometime. 2 Timothy, and read it with this in mind. you read through 2 Timothy chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4. You know what I really believe one of the main points of Paul's letter to Timothy was? Persevere. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He said, Timothy, I know your tears, but God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He said, stir up the gift of God that is in thee. Keep going forward. Endure afflictions as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Chapter 3, he lists all those things, and perilous times shall come. And then he gets down to verse number 14. You know what he says? But continue thou, Timothy. Continue thou. Perilous times are going to come, and people are going to deceive, and evil's going to wax worse and worse. But Timothy, keep going. Chapter 4, Paul says, Timothy, I fought a good fight. I finished my course, Timothy. I kept the faith. He said, but don't quit, Timothy. Make full proof of that ministry. Endure hardness. Keep going for God. And so we see that the early church Christians, they served faithfully, and the validity of their faithfulness was, it was in their passion. It was in their perseverance. They kept going no matter what. And I thank God for Christians that keep going no matter what. I've watched some Christians in this church through the years face some awful hard trials and awful hard afflictions, but keep going for God. And it challenges me to keep going for God. And so Paul, the validity of their service is their perseverance. And then last, I say the validity is their passion. Number two, it's their perseverance. And number three, and last, it's their prize. Now this one is a little different. This one doesn't always come on this side. They sing about the far side. See, that prize doesn't always come on this side. Now, we might get some handfuls of purpose on this side. We might get to see some fruit on this side. I think this morning we saw some fruit of Keith Shoemaker's ministry on this side. But can I tell you, I'm convinced that there's far more fruit on the other side that we don't see yet. But one day God is gonna make it all open and viewable, right? It said Paul, when I read that, when I quoted that in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, Paul said, he said, I kept the faith. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. He said, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Paul said, there's something waiting for me on the other side. Why? Because I served the Lord faithfully. And can I tell you, if you serve the Lord faithfully, if you stay faithful in the service of God, God's keeping the record. And there's a prize on the other side. God has a prize for his service. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 and 24 says in this, it says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily. That's with passion, right? As to the Lord and not unto man, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive a reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. He said, there's an inheritance. There's a prize. Whatever you do for God, do it heartily. Do it with all your heart. Do it with passion. Persevere through the hardship and through the difficulties, because there's a prize. If you would, go home tonight, maybe read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 through verse number 14. You probably know those verses. You know what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 through 14? He said, there's coming a prize. He said, one day we're going to all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And those things that we've done, those things that we've done for him for the right reason, when we've served him faithfully, he says those things are going to last the fire. And then there's going to be some things that we didn't do for him, and they're going to be wood, hay, and stubble. They're not going to amount to nothing. They're going to burn up. He says, but those that serve me faithfully, I've got something for them. There's a prize on the other side. And so I see the validity of their service, of their faithfulness. Let me ask you this question in closing tonight. Do you serve the Lord? Do you serve the Lord? Say, I serve the Lord, Brother David. Do you serve him faithfully? Do you do it with passion? Do you persevere and keep going? I believe many of you do. And I just want to encourage you tonight, keep doing it. There's a prize. One day we're going to be on the other side. And on the other side, it'll be worth it all. And so I want to challenge you tonight. serve the Lord faithfully. Christians throughout the church age have been known, have been defined, have been marked by serving faithfully. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I'm going to ask the pianist to come and play. I think some of you understand now why I said, Brother Keith, I mean, I know it wasn't the exact same message, but it was very similar. And I don't know, maybe someone here tonight, God spoke to your heart this morning, and you've been, your service has been waning. Maybe you're thinking about quitting. Backing up. Turning around. And maybe God wanted to remind you tonight. Just keep going forward.